Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we start off the week with a bang, 2 hours of inviting those callers who consider themselves pro-choice to give us a call and explain why are you pro-choice, a pro-choice person. We use that term because that is the term most people who take the view that abortion should be legal, whether in the early stages of pregnancy, which is the more common view, or throughout pregnancy, the less common view, but still prevalent. If you're a pro-choice person, if you are not opposed to abortion being legal, at least at some stage of pregnancy, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Trent Horn, who we welcome back to the United States after his travels abroad. Trent is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a speaker and debater extraordinaire, worked many years in pro-life ministries, helping to convince many people to be a pro-life or to accept a culture of life. He's the author of many books, including What the Saints Never Said, Hard Sayings, and what's the big one, Why We're Catholic. That's the big one this year, right? I mean, you have others this year, but how many books have come out this year from you?
This year?
Yeah, in 2018.
Actually, none so far in the 2018 calendar year.
Really?
So the
What Saints Never Said was last year?
I want to say, well, maybe it was. No, actually, maybe it was 2018.
I guess I had them all stacked up this year.
Yeah, and in 2017, I released Why We're Catholic. And then I think it was early this year we did. Yeah, you're right. It was earlier. It was at the end of spring I released What the Saints Never Said.
And then the Catholic book that you released for Ignatius Press. I'm sorry. Help me out. Trent.
The Case for Catholicism.
The Case for Catholicism.
That was 2017, around the anniversary of the Reformation.
Which is not it's not like Why We're Catholic, which is in shorter bites, and it's supposed to help anyone to understand the basic give them a basic understanding of why a person would be Catholic. The other is more of a response to Protestant objections to the Catholic faith.
That's right. The Case for Catholicism is what I believe the most comprehensive, up-to-date single volume defense of Catholicism. So it's been praised even by people who are not Catholic, have said, oh, this is the best that you're going to find. I tried very hard to get to really do my research. In fact, much of the biblical research I cite from Protestant scholars and how their research supports the Catholic faith. So yeah, so that's the Case for Catholicism. I would call it for the motivated layperson would enjoy the Case for Catholicism. So it's not a light read, but it's not some kind of dense, yeah, unreadable thing. The motivated layperson would enjoy the Case for Catholicism. Why We're Catholic is a book I wrote that anybody at any reading level would be able to appreciate, really high school age and up, explaining the Catholic faith, whether they're an atheist, Protestant, fallen away Catholic, whoever it may be. I've written those.
888-318-7884 is the number. Persuasive Pro-Life is also the probably the one that I should have mentioned for today. If you are a pro-life person, we would be very happy to talk to you about your beliefs, how you came to be there, and we'd like to exchange ideas with you. A little bit of dialogue is probably good for all of us. 888-318-7884. Before I go to those calls, and the lines are beginning to fill up, a couple lines still open if you want to call 888-31-TRUTH. I do want to ask you, the first person we've had on the air who went on the Great Big Giant Catholic Answers European Jaunt, is that what we called it? Something like that. Or a cruise down the Danube might have been the other.
I would consider it a cruise. We weren't jaunting too many places. However, there were some shore excursions. One of them was a 20-mile bike ride through Austria. And 20 of us did that, and I was one of them.
So how was that?
It was a lot of fun until I realized that I should have done more bike riding before the cruise.
So it's like a 10-speed kind of situation? Like,
no, they gave us a kind of a more standard bike. Six speed, uh-huh, gears. So it's not like we're on beach cruisers. But it was delightful.
Austria is beautiful.
It's very beautiful, very green place, a lot of vineyards. We were just riding along the Danube. And so we had great time with companions and the whole boat. The entire boat was a Catholic Answers cruise. Yeah. And we just had a lot of great talks on sacred music, liturgy, the history of the church, especially the history of the church in Central Europe during the Counter-Reformation, during the fight against the Ottoman Empire and yep. Muslim incursion into Europe. So history, theology, we covered a lot of great ground, and I think people really enjoyed being on it.
When you were riding through the hills, was it – it's hills, right, that you're riding through in Austria? Or?
Yes, but fortunately we didn't have to go up and down too many hills because we stayed near the river.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a fairly hilly place.
Any temptation at all to sing Edelweiss while you were doing that?
Edelweiss? That's not Sound of Music, is it?
Yeah, that's
– Is that Sound of Music?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bless My Homeland Forever. Which people always say.
No, by the time it was when we got to after we visited the Abbey in Melk, I think when we were going into Germany on that bus ride there. And it was Salzburg. We're going to Salzburg. We got to hear everything about the Sound of Music. About the Sound of Music.
Well, people always say that their favorite Austrian folk song is Edelweiss. People say that all the time. But it was actually written for
the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
it's kind of like my favorite Asian dessert is fortune cookies. Like we invented that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was invented in America.
Are we just taking credit for stuff? Are you sure? Because Americans, we will take credit for stuff. Like many people think the telephone was invented here in America.
It wasn't? The telephone?
Are you telling me it was?
Steve Jobs invented the telephone, didn't he?
No, it was not Steve Jobs. It was a great Scotsman that came to America and invented the telephone.
Bell?
Yeah, Alexander Graham Bell.
No, that's just a story. Those devices that have the cords, that's only in stories.
Oh, no, those were real.
No.
Those were real, yeah.
No, and that's just in fiction. But all right, I'll believe you.
They didn't work like a cell phone in the old days. You would get an operator one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy. That's how you would call the other person.
Well, why wouldn't you just look on the phone to see what you need to call?
Yeah, look on the phone. Yeah. Right. That's an excellent point.
I'm having a hard time understanding this.
Yeah.
But I have an ancient history textbook, so I'll go see if it's
in
there.
It is ancient history now.
Okay.
But do you know why Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone?
Mm.
Not because he wanted to become fabulously rich. He wanted to help the deaf. He was trying to figure out how to make a sound amplifying machine that could help people who were mostly deaf.
Hmm.
And in the meantime, he invented the telephone and ruined the relationship between every teenager and their parents. 888-318-7884 is our number. Why are you pro-choice?
He wanted to help the deaf, and so he's created a device where parents talk to their children and they think their children are deaf because they ignore them being on their phones.
The irony.
It's come full circle.
The irony, Trent Horn. John in Cleveland wants to talk to you. Are you ready?
Sure.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because you've been traveling. John in Cleveland, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, John. Your question, or why are you pro-choice, John?
Hello?
Hi, John. Why are you pro-choice?
I won't say I'm radically. I'm against it up to a certain point. I guess I would be against it when it's considered like most people get it. But the thing I don't get is this. It doesn't have fully formed organs. Like, a baby has all the fully formed organs, has all the organs in place. Up to, like, 9 months, it doesn't really have the full organs, you know what I'm saying?
Right. At 8 weeks after conception, an unborn child is called a fetus rather than an embryo because it's at that point all of the organs are present. When you use the term fully formed, though, I would say even at birth, a child's organs will continue to form after birth. Their brain will grow tremendously in size to let them do things at age 2 or 3 they couldn't possibly do when they're a newborn. So they continue forming even after birth. But yes, at around 8 weeks is when a child has all of the organs in place. But John, I guess what I'm wondering is why does it matter if a child has a certain number of organs or not? Why is that important?
I guess on the point of consistency, you know what I'm saying? Because a baby, if you want to go by development, the only consistency is when it grows organs because it can't grow new. Once it's born, it can't grow any new organs. Like your brain might grow until you're 18, but you'll not create a new organ. You know what I'm saying? You don't create a new organ when you're alive. You know what I'm saying?
John, let me ask you a question. Why are organs important?
I don't know.
Well, would you agree organs are important because they keep you alive?
Right.
Okay. So what if you were able to be alive without some of your organs? Would you still be a valuable person?
If you didn't have any organs and you're able to be alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Why not?
Okay, so if that's the case, like, for example, I could donate one of my kidneys to Cy here if he needed one. I would have one less organ, but I wouldn't become a less valuable person. I can live without that kidney. But here's the thing with an unborn child. They can live and grow. When they're really, really little, they don't need as many organs that you and I need. But when they get bigger and they need an organ, they will grow an organ. So when they need a heart at 3 weeks, they'll grow a heart. When they need a liver at 8 weeks, they'll grow a liver. So for me, this is just an amazing little kid who can grow an organ whenever he or she needs one. That's amazing. That's still a little human being who's growing and developing. The fact that that child doesn't have as many organs as I do doesn't change the fact that that is a little growing human being with the same value that I have. So it would be wrong to kill that little child just as it would be wrong to kill me. So that's probably the response I would make to your concern about organs, that an unborn child, every human being has value being a living human being, no matter how many organs you have. The fact that you're alive, growing, and developing means you have intrinsic dignity and human rights, and abortion violates the rights of an unborn child.
We have to take a break, John, so we will have to leave it there. Thank you so much for starting us off. Our topic today, why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person and willing to discuss it with us, we'd love to have that discussion with you. Trent Horn is our guest. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. And we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Did you know that you can have me and other Catholic Answers speakers headline your next conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our dynamic speakers today. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I want to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got going right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. You can sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll also give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll drop the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now because this is a limited-time offer. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host, Trent Horn, our guest, and it's a very special day today. Trent, I don't know if you know this, but either way you go, we're 6 months from Christmas today. It's 6 months backwards, 6 months forward. It's June 25th, exactly 6 months from Christmas in each direction. And which gets me thinking about that some of these things, these sales and things we've got going on, are about to end. So don't forget, when June ends, the big special $1, $5, $10 book and DVD sale over at shop.catholic.com is over. You also get $5 flat rate shipping on all that stuff. So go to shop.catholic.com before the end of this month. But also the big sale, $10 off a one-year subscription and $20 off a two-year subscription of Catholic Answers Magazine goes out with the end of this month as well. So yeah, for that, you go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, just one of the finest Catholic publications you will get anywhere. Are you ready for more calls, Trent?
Sure.
Our topic today, why are you pro-choice? We're very grateful when pro-choice folks are willing to call us and we get to discuss it. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We go now to Kathy on Long Island, New York. Kathy, welcome. You're on with Trent Horn.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Very well. Do you want to tell us why you're pro-choice?
Yes. I grew up in a, you know, my family is Catholic, and I grew up very pro-life. So I have that foundation. Mm. However, at the age of 19, I was pregnant and not married yet, and I was in college. And I never thought that the thought of having an abortion would ever cross my mind, but it actually did because I was young and I was not ready to be a mom. Thank God that, you know, I guess through prayers, I did have my child, and I'm very thankful for that. But that got me thinking of many people that maybe are not blessed like me, that, you know, through prayer, I was able to make the right choice. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we never know, like, what people are going through. And so that has made me believe that maybe giving people a choice, it's, you know, even though I don't believe in it, but when I went through it, I felt like I had a choice, and I thank God that I made the right choice. So it's kind of like a tough situation, and I think, if I remember correctly, there's a verse in the Bible that says, I put before you life and death, choose life. And that verse kind of like resonated with me at that time. And I did make the choice to have my daughter. So that's what kind of makes me, I think, pro-life and pro-choice at the same time.
Okay. Kathy, let me walk through this a little bit to see where you're coming from. First, the verse that you're referring to is actually in the book of Joshua. And here, the Israelites, God's people, they're not talking about abortion or pregnancy. What the people, God's people, are being told is, I've set before you a choice, life and death. They're talking about idolatry and worshiping the true God. And God makes it clear that you can either worship God and live, or you worship these idols and you will die in your sins and you will suffer the consequences. So I agree with you that we all have choices in life, would you agree there's always consequences to our choices?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And do you think that if a person makes a choice that hurts another person or kills a person, there should be legal consequences, there should be severe consequences for that?
Yes, I do believe that.
Okay. So I think that when we go back to the issue of abortion, choosing life here, it's not like we're talking about two equally good choices, having a baby or not having a baby. We're talking about one choice, which is the choice all people should make. I don't even like phrasing it as a choice, because that's like saying when my wife and I go home, you know, and we have our baby in the high chair, it's like I have a choice to feed, you know, to feed them or not feed them. That's not really a choice. One of those is my duty as a parent. I got to feed my child. The other is neglect and harmful, and I should never do that. And so I think when it comes to abortion, it's like, yeah, we call it a choice, but really there's two things you can do here. You can either follow your duty as a mother and father to take care of this baby in the womb, or you could hurt this baby. And for me, I'm so grateful, you know, that my children are in a loving home. Your child has now found in you a loving mother, and that's wonderful. It is sad, though. There are many children out there who don't have loving parents, or their parents hurt them. So would you agree in those cases we need laws to protect those children so their parents don't hurt them, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so for me, all I feel then is the laws we have should protect kids after they're born and before they're born. So if we're really pro-life and we really think we value life at all stages, shouldn't we have those laws? Shouldn't we protect those babies? Just because their parents can make a choice doesn't mean they should be allowed to make a choice to hurt those little kids before they're born. That's probably where I would come from on that regard. Is that a helpful way of seeing the issue?
Absolutely, because I think that I was seeing it more spiritually, like, you know, God gave us free will. But I like the way that you put it also, that we have a legal obligation. And I guess I wasn't thinking of the legal obligation that we have.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of it
like spiritually. Yeah, yeah. I mean, think of it this way. God says, thou shalt not steal. But we don't just say, steal, don't steal. That's your choice. Try to do what God says. We also have laws saying you can't shoplift, and if you shoplift, you're going to get in trouble. So we should have laws to protect unborn children from being harmed. We already have that. If a baby is wanted in the womb and somebody, you know, a drunk driver hits a pregnant woman and kills the baby, in 35 states and under federal law, he can be held liable for harm caused to the baby, for wanted babies. I'm just saying the unwanted babies should get the same protection. So I hope that's helpful, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much, Kathy. With lots of folks on the line, thank you so much for your calls. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. The question of the day, why are you pro-choice? We go to Luke in Boston, Massachusetts. Luke, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Hello, Trent. I'm pro-choice just because I figured, at least in the vast majority of cases after the first trimester, I'm not necessarily an abortion advocate. I think just within the first trimester is enough room to decide if the baby and the mother are going to survive the birth. So I'm just wondering that in the first trimester, why should we not allow abortion before this fetus is fully developed?
Okay. Well, Luke, my answer to that question would be this, that a child's development continues long after birth. I think from birth till about 9 months, the brain grows from 56 trillion synaptical connections to 1,000 trillion. I've watched my own children develop now from birth on, and their development continues. Our development continues through our whole life. So it's arbitrary to cut it off at birth. If we say, well, abortion is permissible until a child's fully developed, I mean, we could abort people in the 173rd trimester. I mean, you still develop in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and so have you. So my answer is this. I think all human beings should be protected from being unjustly killed, no matter the stage of development they are at. So what do you think of that?
I don't necessarily mean the full development of a human, more so as the development of all the vital organs and brain synapses necessary to be a human. I feel that before the end of the first trimester, there's scientific data to suggest that babies do not feel or think anything because their brain isn't fully developed. Mm-hmm. And in a way, they're still not human yet.
Okay. Well, Luke, I guess my question would be, what makes someone human?
That is a great question, and I think that's where our differences would lie, because I don't believe that having an abortion in the first trimester would be necessarily killing a human. I think to be considered a human life, that you have to have these organs and you have to have feelings, or not necessarily emotional feelings, but you have to have consciousness within your brain.
What do you mean by consciousness?
I mean the ability to at least think something and feel something, which typically before the end of the first trimester, you are not able to do.
Okay. Like think or feel anything? I mean, there's a lot of cats in my neighborhood, for example, that I don't – I always see them sneak on my lawn, and I know they're thinking all kinds of conniving thoughts to get the birds in my yard. And they certainly do feel if I chuck a small pebble in their direction and it accidentally – hits the cat. I would never certainly confess to directly harming an animal, you know, on radio or anything like that. But my point is simply that many animals can think and feel, like a cat, a dog, or a chipmunk, a squirrel, a rat. They can think and feel. So should they have the same rights as human beings?
Right. Well, that's the difference between humans and animals. Humans are sentient. Animals are simply conscious.
But my thing is, humans are sentient, as in they can think rationally?
As in we know of things beyond ourselves and primal instinct.
So do you have to be sentient to be a person to have rights?
No, not necessarily.
What do you have to be then? I don't understand. What do you have to be then to be a person who has rights?
Well, you have to be a person. I don't think that if you're not fully developed in the womb, if you're still a bundle of cells with the beginnings of organ development and the beginnings of brain synapses that can't even comprehend the most basic of touches or feelings, then you're not necessarily a protected human.
But Luke, you haven't answered my question yet, and that's what really concerns me. Because my view is very simple. Any member of the human species has the same equal rights. So what I want to know from you is, though, what makes someone deserving of rights? And you've picked different criteria, but you just kind of jump around on whether they matter. Because it seems like thinking and feeling, they don't matter because you won't give rights to, squirrels and pigeons and things like that. Now you're saying sentience is what matters, but would you agree newborn babies aren't sentient, right?
Well, I have a question for you. Do you think sperm cells are deserving of human rights?
No, they're not a human being. They're not an organism.
Exactly. Neither is an embryo.
What is an embryo?
An embryo is the first stages of development.
Of what?
Not even necessarily of a human.
First stage of development of what? A being, an organism. I'm sorry, but if you look up what an embryo is, it's an organism, and I think all organisms should be treated equally among the human species.
We have to take a break, Luke. We'll be right back with more Trent Horn right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com. Or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Listening to your program has really touched my heart, and I just see such love and beauty, not only for Christ, but for people in general in the Catholic Church. And now I feel like I need more. I want to serve God more. I feel it so much that He's given me a gift to serve and to touch people, to love people. What would it take for me to maybe look into the priesthood?
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn is our guest. And we welcome anybody who is a pro-choice person. If you identify yourself as pro-choice, whether you are in a very limited way pro-choice, maybe you're one of those first trimester people or something along those lines, or whether you are a complete full-throated pro-choice person from the moment of conception until the moment of birth or after, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'd love to talk with you about your views. Trent Horn is the author of Persuasive Pro-Life and many other books, and also, I think, a very calm, measured, and reasonable person. He's not going to bite your head off. I get the feeling, Trent, from some of our, or maybe from just one previous caller today, the scientific literacy may not be at an all-time high.
Well, it's not in most fields, and I wouldn't take that to mean that any of our previous callers are scientific illiterates or anything like that. But I do think
they probably don't throw rocks at cats either. I'm not trying to say that.
There's scientific evidence that it works to get them out of your yard. I performed one experiment, and so I need to do others to confirm the hypothesis. But yeah, unfortunately, the one thing that happens is when it comes to scientific literacy, Cy, I think where people have the illiteracy is not so much a scientific fact, but knowing like what is and isn't science. So saying something like science shows a fetus isn't a baby, that statement makes no sense because baby is not a scientific classification.
Right.
It is an emotional classification. Or one rung up, science shows a fetus is not a person. Person is not a scientific term. It is a legal or philosophical term. So people will pick, and what's happened with our callers, they pick a scientific fact, the unborn cannot feel pain.
Yes.
And then believe that in itself
is dispositive.
Proves their ethical conclusion, when you don't realize that in ethics we have scientific facts to start, but you have to make ethical inferences to reach your conclusion, and you have to back up that reasoning. Otherwise, you're merely assuming what you're trying to prove.
And many people will say, well, that's your faith. You believe that, Trent. And that's why I feel like we need a conference where we get together and talk about faith and science.
That would be a good idea.
We should have one of those.
What a great idea.
Oh, Chris Check, our president, the president here of Catholic Answers. Thanks for stopping by, Chris. We do have a faith and science friends or foes conference coming up.
Cy, today is Monday,
yes.
The 25th of June, is it the 25th? Next Monday, so a week from today, is July 2nd.
I know what that is.
It is the expiration of the early bird price.
The early bird special is over on July 2nd. Plus, if you sign up
now, it's not exactly clear when on July 2nd it's over. It at midnight on July 2nd, and
up until midnight, it remains July 2nd.
What does canon law say about this?
I don't know if canon law can weigh in.
Or what does science say about this?
Science says, even though some people may not agree, that our time changes and hourly changes differ based on the orbit of the Earth on its axis and its annual orbit around the sun. Canon law, the closest it says in section 202, it says a day is 24 hours long and it begins and ends at midnight.
Okay, so
canon law says that.
Section 202.
I love that there's a Catholic definition of a day, and it's a pretty good one too.
Well, because canon law prescribes within a certain number of days a person has to make an appeal, tender resignations, fill ecclesial offices. You got to figure out, well, when does my day start and end?
And also canon law prescribes that if you want to get the early bird price on this conference, you have to sign up by midnight on the 2nd of July.
That was in a newer edition we didn't cover in our classes.
That's right. It's the 1984 edition.
And what you do get when you sign up, you get that special room rate of $149 a night at the Hyatt Regency.
Which is a bargain for this hotel. It's an amazing deal.
If you get the banquet ticket, you get the keynote address by Cardinal Burke. Cardinal Raymond Burke will be
who's going to be talking about science and humanae vitae.
Oh, I can't wait. And Jimmy Akin M&Ms, you get those.
Jimmy Akin calling square dancing.
Right.
Also.
You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to sign up between now and midnight on July 2nd, CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard.
What are you going to talk about, Trent?
My talk is called Do I Only Have a Brain? And it will be answering scientists and people who appeal to science to say we are nothing but brains, we don't have souls, we don't have free will, and I'll be showing how that is not the case.
And Trent, I will be talking about the Earth's orbit in the context of the Galileo affair, much misunderstood by enemies and friends of the church event. Enemies and friends of the church.
It's just so ripe for propagandizing. There's no way that people are going to resist that temptation.
Yeah, as Newman said, it's the go-to case.
Yeah,
folks who try to discredit the church, who has been the guardian of science,
right,
and without whom there never would have been Western Christian civilization in which science flourished.
That's why I'm getting those bumper stickers made that say Galileo went to Catholic school. Because
his daughter was a nun, for goodness sakes.
Stacey Trisankos will be there, a PhD in chemistry and also a theologian.
Father Terrence Ehrman from Notre Dame.
A priest and a scientist. And Raymond Burke, as we said, the cardinal, will be there. It's September 27th through 30th in beautiful San Diego at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla. It's the best time of year to be in San Diego.
One week left to take advantage of that early bird rate. Now, Cy, if people want to wait until after July 2nd to give more money to Catholic Answers,
that's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah, we're
not
going to
object to that.
But we're not giving you M&Ms.
No M&Ms.
No Jimmy Akin M&Ms. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Early bird expires midnight.
And welcome back
Monday,
to the United States.
Oh, boy. Chris. Can I just tell you, while Trent is here and the whole of radio world is listening,
yes,
this young man did a fabulous job on our cruise.
Did he?
He just completely knocked it out of the park. His talks were perfect and scintillating and delightful and entertaining, all those things that you associate with Trent. But, he's great at a party, too.
He rode
a bicycle 18 miles.
Oh, he told us 20.
Oh.
He told us 20, and he told us he sang Edelweiss the whole way.
Well, it might have been 20 kilometers.
Oh, 20. He's not.
But it was. But it was. It was grueling out there, Simon. It must have been like, oh, I don't know, 29 degrees Celsius.
Okay, I have to do math.
That bike
now.
Weighed like 2 stone. But you know, it was a wonderful cruise.
We're back in the United States, Trent.
Just talk normal. You're back in the United States. Trent said, I don't know if I believe him. He said there was constant complaining that I wasn't there.
Everyone said, if you do one of these again, you better bring Cy. Which, by the way, we are bringing you on the next cruise.
No.
No, we're not?
No.
Oh, we should talk about that.
No, because you have two excellent people going.
Carlo and Tim Staples.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Carlo, you definitely want Carlo.
Yeah.
He's going to bring that accordion.
All right, but we're not going to distract people.
So 3 years from now, I'll probably get to
CatholicAnswersConference.com. Early bird expires July 2nd.
Trent Horn, thanks very much, Chris Check. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. Our question for you, why are you pro-choice? We go now to Haas in Nebraska, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Haas, thanks so much for downloading the app. Why are you pro-choice?
I'm not pro-choice, I'm pro-life. I just had a question on how do you combat that when the logical answer is that a fetus becomes a human being. Now, if a fetus became like an elephant, then sure, we could abort that because that's not a natural thing. But I want to know how can a society of where we need to define what a human is legally, and why hasn't the United States ever done that? Where, like, we define what, like, a corporation is, so we know how to tax them and do these things, but we can't define what a life is. So I'm curious, how do we do that? Like, I mean, what does the individual do? What does the laity do? What does anyone do to fix this problem? Because it makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make sense, Haas. And I love also that I've got someone here that I can call Haas on the other end of the line. So yeah, I feel just warm and at home, which is probably a very Nebraska thing, very Midwest hospitality to just have this nice chat with you about this important question that you're raising. Who, you know, how do we define what corporations are? We define lots of things. Why doesn't U.S. law or the Constitution or something define what a human being is? Well, in one sense, you can find in appeals courts and in other legal statutes the scientific definition of a human being, that human beings are members of the species Homo sapiens. There was a case several years ago in 2008, I think it was Rounds versus Planned Parenthood, where South Dakota required abortion providers to say that abortion ends the life of a human being. And the court upheld the definition of a human being as an individual member of the human species, a biological human being. The problem is that courts haven't defined whether that falls under the definition of human being as applied in different legal contexts, as to whether that's what the term person should be applied to. What does person mean? A lot of times in legal cases and in law, there aren't necessarily definitions like we defined this here and it's set. More what you appeal to is something called case law, which is how has a term been understood in previous cases? And so, you know, not necessarily even universally, for a long time, persons were understood as born human beings who were white or owned property. And then later people came to understand, well, no, that also includes people of all races. Anyone who's born is a person. But it was also understood during that time in case law that human beings before they're born have rights. So you can find cases in the 19th century opposing abortion. You can see things that the framers of the Constitution, for example, derived a lot of their legal knowledge and tradition from English common law. And I think it's Blackstone who spoke about abortion being a crime in England. And there's a book called Abortion and the Constitution that goes through this in great detail. But unfortunately, Haas, you know, this gets ignored or distorted by legislators, by scholars and things like that. So what can we do? Well, what we can do is we educate. We have to educate people that a person is any member of our species, any human being. All people are equally valuable. And we have to continue education and activism so people see that not only do we know the unborn are persons, we believe they're persons. We're willing to pray in front of abortion facilities. We're willing to hold politicians accountable, that they craft laws to protect the unborn as best that they can. And we have to understand it takes time. It takes time to widen the moral scope. So throughout history, we're always trying to include the disenfranchised and the marginalized within the human community. And it took time to bring people of African descent into that community in the United States, for example. It took time to end child labor, to have even born children having the full rights as other people. It takes a long time for these things, and I think the same thing is true of the unborn. So we have to continue education, activism, and prayer to continually pray for an end to abortion and for a greater acceptance among people for the value of human life. So that's something I would recommend, and I hope it's helpful.
And thank you for the call, Haas. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more. Trent Horn, why are you pro-choice is our topic today. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. If you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to discuss it with us, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our topic this hour, why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884, the number. And we go now to Justin in College Station, Texas, the home of the Aggies. Justin, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you pro-choice?
Well, it stems from children being born and not loved. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the mind that if you didn't want it and you don't love it and there's not good alternatives, I think abortion's okay.
Okay. Well, Justin, I want to see where you're coming from here, because it sounds a little harsh the way you put it. That it's okay when you say abortion, what does that mean to you?
Termination of pregnancy.
Okay. And what does it mean to be pregnant?
The thing that happens after intercourse, and the egg ends up attaching to the uterine wall and starts growing.
Okay. Well, what is that? What is the thing that's growing inside of a pregnant woman?
Well, that would be the unloved child.
Okay, so it's a child that's growing. Your position.
Right.
Okay.
Not...
Well, let me just understand. Your position is this: if you don't love a child, you should be allowed to end their life.
I think it's better than sometimes the alternative.
The alternative being what? Loving the child and
abuse,
not
sexual, you know.
Okay, Justin.
Physical,
Justin, which
any
is
of those that may have, you know, be because of an unloved child, neglect. You know.
So, Justin, you're saying there's only two options with an unloved child: either abuse them or kill them.
Well, no. So, you know, and I have this problem with a lot of pro-lifers. They're not really pro-lifers. They're just pro-birthers. I think if there was better foster care and alternative services after birth, I think adoption 100%. But sometimes, you know, depending where you live, those services just are laughable.
So if there aren't adoption services, parents should just be able to kill their kids.
Sure. I know what you're getting at. I mean, I could.
No,
say
I want to see.
If your child was gay, would you kill the kid? I mean,
no.
Well, okay.
I don't believe in killing children. Would I kill what?
No, go ahead.
Because I'm trying to figure out where you're coming. Yeah. I want to see how deep this goes. So let's say a woman has a born child, like, I don't know, a toddler that is driving her up the wall. Not a cute newborn anymore. Here's an older baby that she doesn't love this child anymore. This child is just really, really hard to deal with. And you know what? She doesn't want to go through placing the child for adoption and the child finding her later in life, and or people questioning whether she's a good parent, or even getting in trouble at saying, I can't take care of this child. So she just decides to drown this toddler in a bathtub and make it look like an accident. And then she gets sympathy and she doesn't have this child she doesn't love to deal with anymore. Should she be allowed to do that with a toddler?
She should have received long before that.
She should what?
She should have gotten help.
No, Justin, let me ask, do some people, when they don't love a child, can they go
right
from loving a child to not loving them?
Once again, yeah, well, no. I don't really think so.
Okay,
I think if you have the love to begin with, I don't really...
Justin, do you have any children?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. Well, I think in many relationships, you'll see... Well, look at this. How about in romantic relationships? Do people start in love and then they end up not being in love anymore?
Right, but most of the time when someone ends up getting murdered in that relationship, that's a sign of mental illness.
You're telling me everybody who commits a murder is mentally ill?
Or, I mean, are you saying they're not? Do you have
some people just embrace evil and they don't care about the consequences, or they try to do it?
No,
and
No, I don't think some people just go out and one day say, "Oh, that evil, let's get it on."
No,
dab.
No, Justin, it builds and builds over time. People commit evil. They start with small acts of evil, and it grows and grows, and they dull their conscience until one day, you know, they find out their spouse is cheating on them, and they are in a rage, they get in a fight, and they kill that person, or they kill someone to get insurance money, or there are bad people in the world, and people do bad things for different reasons, but... Go back to my example. It's a simple yes or no. I want to know. Should a parent be allowed to kill their born child because they don't love them anymore? Yes or no?
No. But
did you say
you know,
no?
Did you say no? Yes, I did say no.
Why?
But once again, well, you've already had it this long. I think you have a mental illness.
You think I have a mental illness?
Well, if you're thinking about contemplating, remember that lady who had her husband was ultra religious and they just kept having kids and the doctor said, don't have any more kids. And she ended up taking all six children up and drowning them all.
I remember. I don't remember the woman's exact name right off the top of my head, but I'm familiar with
right,
the case that you're talking.
But the story still stands. Yeah, she was wrong for murdering her children.
Yes.
Should she have had more? Because her religious husband said we need to just keep having more children, she probably should have said no.
Right. So if she
got pregnant, they probably should have gotten an abortion.
So Justin, if you have a child you can't care for, shouldn't you choose a nonviolent solution like placing the child for adoption?
Well, that's what I just said in my original argument. If you have adequate social services put in place, I totally agree. That's the ideal situation.
But then let's say you don't. Let's say you
right.
don't have anyone that can care for that child. You still shouldn't kill that child, right?
So, if that's the better solution, but if there isn't, or you don't believe that someone else can take care of it, I mean, I think it's viable.
So you think it's...
I don't think that taking something off the table... Just because you know, just bare minimum is all you got.
So you think it's okay to kill people if they're going to have a rough life?
No. See, I know what you're doing.
What am I doing?
But I mean,
I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand you.
I get it.
I'm trying to understand
you. So, yes, no, you're not allowed to kill people if they have a rough life.
Okay.
But if you don't love someone and you just create this rough life for them, and you know you're going to create a rough life for them, why put them through it? Why
because
would you do that? As a good Christian, why would you go out of your way to neglect and not love someone?
You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't neglect. You shouldn't neglect people, and you also shouldn't kill them. You should love them and care for them.
Not everyone's capable of doing that. You even said it yourself. Some people just they start out with a little evil. Maybe this girl's doing coke. Maybe she gets a little resentful, and she just can't love this child.
Fine. Then, Justin, when parents have lost the ability to care for their child, shouldn't the state step in to protect the child from the parents?
Man, you are right there with me. That was my first argument. That's
sure.
Beautiful.
So how do you protect the child by killing them? That makes no sense to me.
Well, first of all, the state right now as it is isn't really willing to pony up all that money. And I think a lot more bonds should be passed for school and things.
Justin, why don't we just tell parents not to kill their own kids? It's a very simple solution. Don't you think at the bare minimum of morality, Justin, what is the worst crime you can commit in our legal code? What is the worst crime you can commit?
Employers should be able to give birth control. Give him an overdoing, you know?
Justin.
Like, that would work, too.
You're on broadcast right now. Let's have a dialogue. What is the worst crime you can commit in our legal code?
I don't know. Multiple homicide.
Okay, so murder or a variant of murder. Murder is the most serious one. Then shouldn't basic human beings, if you're allowed to be out in public, to be a civilized person, if you're allowed to roam the streets and, you know, be free, shouldn't you be expected at a bare minimum to not murder people?
Very well.
Okay,
but
then
shouldn't you also be able to protect your kids, even if the bare minimum you can do is just not put them in this world? Like, if that's the bare minimum you can do, like your last loving thing that you can do, just like, I just really can't take care of you, and the social, there's just no services that would work for me. Isn't that the same?
Why not just
like the great martyrdom?
Martyrdom for what? I don't understand what you're talking about here. That it seems to me you are ambivalent. You hesitate about the solution of killing toddlers. I do sense that in our conversation. You're at least somewhat hesitant there. You see the problem. But I guess here's what I don't get. What's worse, murder or abuse?
Systemic abuse.
Systemic abuse is worse.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay, then Justin, let me ask you this. Are there people out there who they're going to live a life of abuse? Would you have a right to just go and kill them, someone who lives in a very poor community or someone in another country who is living a life of abuse? Would you have the right to just go and kill them?
Let me turn this table. How about someone with a terminal illness where they're just living in all, you know, constant pain? Their chemo treatment is not going to make them live any longer. Should I have the right to be able to help them commit suicide? I think so. Especially if it's my mom and she's just agonizing pain. I think in certain situations, yes, it's completely ethical and moral to help someone
Who gets to decide? How about emotional abuse? If someone's suffering emotional abuse, do you think it's better to kill them?
I bet if they're suffering emotional abuse, I hope you get them out of that situation rather than kill them.
Oh, okay, so you're drawing lines here. See, this is the problem. You're starting to draw fuzzy, ambiguous lines, and that leads to us saying that some lives are more valuable than others and saying who we can kill and who we can't. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. And even you see the problem of saying we should just kill someone. You're placing value on some lives and not others. But the pro-life position is that all lives are equally valuable, no matter age, development, or any disability you might have, and we should protect those lives. It's a sensible, humane thing to do.
Justin, thank you for the call. We are coming up to the top of the hour. If you're on the line, however, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. If you haven't called yet, 888 888- 31 Truth is the number. Why are you pro-choice is our question today. Both hours. Trent Horn here to address those callers. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.